Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Hopefully we'll hit the stage next year, but yeah, I just want to get really fine-tuned and chiseled down, so yeah.
Well, I have to say you sent me a picture earlier, and girl, you're looking ripped.
Well, thank you. It takes a lot of work, I'll tell you. It's been a long journey, and it's been some up and downs, and with the partial torn, rotator cuff, I'm coming back, and training smarter this time around, and thank you. I'm very pleased with the results, and yeah, it's just right now I'm in bulking right now, and just trying not to lose any muscle, and just trying to get as lean and muscular as possible. But yeah, I've always been athletic, except when I had kids. When I had three kids. There's a time to be mom and everything, but no, I've always been very athletic ever since I was a little girl. So, but I love it, I really do. So let's talk about you, Jason. What's been happening with your? Let's talk about your story really quick here.
So, as many people know, or if anybody listens to the show, they know I work in a hospital. I work in a basement laboratory, and I've mentioned a couple instances in the past. Strange things have happened. Objects have just randomly, flying across the room, stuff like that. See an occasional weird shadow that makes me go, did somebody just walk by, or is there like a ghost? I'm skeptical, but I had the most perplexing thing happen to me a few days ago, and I still am trying to wrap my brain around it. So, in a laboratory, a hospital clinical laboratory, you have it's like a fume hood, where you work, where it's like negative pressure or whatever, so you don't get sick. And when you're dealing with things that could potentially get you sick, like viruses and stuff like that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's a bio cabinet.
You probably know. She's a nurse.
Yeah, it's got this glass that pulls down, and you reach your hands in and all this and that. Anyways, I use that because we get a lot of flus, and I run the flus. So that's not all I do, but it's like one of the billion things I do. And so I get a flu, and I'm going to this cabinet, and I set the flu container down. So what it is it's a viral transport media. It's a small vial, and it's filled with this pink fluid, and it's got the swabs in it that you get when they stick the swabs up in your nasopharyngeal area, and then they put it in this screw cap container. It's about 4.5 inches tall. And so I set it down there in the center of this fume hood, and it starts sliding across the inside of this cabinet slowly, and I'm watching it for a good minute, and I'm like, now do I think this is paranormal? Probably not, but I just watched it for a whole minute slide from one end of this, the inside of this fume cabinet, to the other. And then eventually I set something in front of it and watched it stop. And then I tried to recreate it. I'm like, is there some vibration I don't know about that's causing this? Is there just some weird airflow? And I sat there for 5 minutes trying to get this thing to do it, and I couldn't. And the next day I tried the same thing. I have no idea why this thing at that one particular instance just was sliding on the inside of the fume hood. And I've run hundreds of flues, and I've never seen anything like that. It was the strangest thing. And as a side note, the laboratory, which I mentioned was in the basement of the hospital, it's either in the same place where the morgue used to be or the morgue was nearby. Paranormal? I don't know, but it got my attention.
That's crazy.
I've never seen
an
object.
What do you think, June?
We haven't brought her on yet.
I'm sorry. We got to bring her on. That's crazy.
Sure,
yeah, there's
say.
A
yeah,
lot
yeah.
of ghosts and a lot of paranormal. I'm not surprised that there is stuff like that going on, and it, apparently you were just very aware of it. So, yeah, were you scared? I mean, how was your reaction besides
no,
being perplexed?
I was amused. Normally, when you see things move, it's like something falls over or falls off a shelf. I mean, I literally was watching this thing slide across the inside. There's no, you know, there's no lubricant or anything. And yes, there probably are strange air currents in there because it's sucking the air up. But like I said, I've done hundreds of flues, and I've never seen anything even tip over or move even slightly. And this thing just slid very slowly a good, you know, 2.5 feet over the course of 20 seconds.
Wow.
But with that, I think...
And you did ever come across where you were looking and thinking, am I seeing something? Or
maybe I was hallucinating. I don't know. There's a lot of chemicals in the laboratory. Maybe I was just tripping balls. Who knows? But let's get June in here, and we'll see what she seems to think about it.
Right. Okay, our guest is returning. She hasn't been on for probably, I don't know, I'm just guessing probably an old age, probably 8 months, maybe a year. She is a psychic and a medium and a demon seer, healer, and animal communicator, international author, and a nurse. She has many, many guests. She's a wonderful colleague. I highly personally respect her, love her energy. She's the same age as I am. That's kind of crazy, but she is. And she has her own paranormal team. It's I'm not sure what it's called, Carol's in the Paranormal or Paranormal and the Girls or something like that. So she has her own paranormal team, and I guess she travels to Britain quite a bit. So she's been on Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagan, and she just has a natural ability and just natural talent to be able to deal with the negatives. And it's really nice and refreshing because, you know, if I need help or need some assistance or something, I can just give her a quick, you know, holler, and, you know, she gets her done. So I highly recommend her. But we're going to bring her on. Her name is June Lundgren, and let's have her on.
She's on. Hey, June.
Hello, Sherry. Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you, June? I understand you had a busy day today, too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the finishing touches on my new book and get everything, all the chapters all sorted out and everything.
Well, is it a secret, or can you get a little bit? What is the book called, or do you want to wait until it comes out before you disclose that?
The book's called Demon Seer, and it talks about, you know, who I am, what I am, how I do the things I do. And there's a lot of information about the other side, both, you know, the dark side as well as the light side. But it's, you know, I'm trying to bring more awareness into the world about negative entities and how they infiltrate and how they're here all the time, that sort of thing. I want to give people a heads up about it. It's just on the increase, unfortunately.
Why is it on the increase, June?
Well, stop and think about it. You know, there's more than at any other time in our history, we have the technology to record EVPs, to get infrared cameras out and see things in different spectrums, ultraviolet and SLS cameras, things like that. And more people are trying to get into the paranormal, are interested in it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of interest in the dark side of the paranormal, which is not always good. People don't seem to realize that, you know, you're playing with fire and you're going to get burnt. I get contacted almost daily by people who have issues with an attachment or an influence from the negative ones. And it's just crazy. People just don't seem to learn. Don't mess with them. Don't do it. Don't, you know, every time you use something, like, I don't care if it's tarot cards, if you're scrying, if, you know, you're doing a reading for someone, if you're using a pendulum, dowsing, whatever you're doing, it opens a portal and connects with the other side. And it's indiscriminate, so whatever's there is going to come through. It's like having a light in the dark. You know, things are attracted to it, not always good things.
Do you recommend, June, not to douse in those kind of things? Or if a person is, what kind of protection or what do you suggest?
Yeah, it's not that you can't do it. You have to be mindful, and you have to, you know, pray before you do it. You know, ask whatever deity you believe in for their blessing upon the communication. Ask them to watch over you and those who are involved and keep you safe. And then go on and do what you're going to do. And afterwards, you ask them to close the portal because it does open a door, and thank them for their help. And if you do that, chances are you're going to be okay, you know, about 90% of the time. But, you know, there's that other 10% that something will come through. And, you know, I reference that because, you know, the Shanghai tunnels is like that. The first time I removed a demon over there was 2015, and they wanted me to come in and do a walkthrough, and I came in and did a walkthrough, and afterwards I said, well, you know, who's doing seances in the back of the tunnels? Somebody's doing seances. And they're like, oh, we had found recently that somebody was back there doing seances on a regular basis. I said, well, that's where these demons came from. I said, it was left open, the portal was left open, and nobody bothered to shut it. And so I've removed them like 5 different times from there since 2015. And I told them last time, it's like, you know, this is a frequent flyer thing, you know, if you don't stop that, you know, I don't charge for that sort of thing. I told them, I said, but if you don't stop that, I said, I'm going to charge you. This is ridiculous. I mean, to do it over and over and over, it's ridiculous. They need to stop that.
Well, a lot of people have to go to the tours down there. Are they putting themselves at risk since there's demonic activity down there?
The last time I cleaned it out was about a year and a half ago. And like I said, that if you have the people that, if they're still over there, which I know they are, doing seances, you know, you're going to have things come in that are not so nice. And, you know, they opened up another section of the tunnels, I think it's about a year and a half ago. And there's an area, I've never been in there, but I can see it in my third eye, and there's like it's almost like a wooden door in this floor that's locked, and there's something negative down there. And, you know, I haven't been asked to go in and remove it, and I won't unless someone asks me. But, you know, people should just be aware. I mean, it's a great historical site. It's a lot of history. They tell you a lot of history there. You can literally feel the history. But if you go in, you know, with a positive attitude and stuff, then it should be okay. The thing is, you know, it doesn't, when they do come in, they come in, and you can feel them. The air gets heavy. Things start happening. People get, you know, scratched, and people get shoved. And when that happens, then you know that there's something there that shouldn't be there, because there is a female spirit that tries to go guard the area, but she's not strong enough.
So, Jude, as a psychic medium, and I'm also one too, you ever have experiences where you go to a place and your heart is just palpitating, I mean, just like beating out of its chest? What do you find what that's from, if you ever had that experience?
I don't remember ever having that experience except as a child.
Oh,
the first time I encountered a demon, I was in a graveyard. I was about 5 years old. My grandmother had taken her best friend to visit the grave of her husband, and she decided it was time for me to go to a cemetery. Because I had never been to one. I was living with my grandparents, raised me, and my grandmother was a psychic medium. And so we went to the graveyard, and I was sitting in the back seat. And, my grandma came around and got me out of the car, and we walked a little bit, and I could see the dark ones coming closer. And there was a lot of white light souls that wanted to go home. And I told my grandma, I don't like this place. I don't like the dark ones. And my grandmother was like, do what Michael said, the archangel. He said, just watch them, but don't acknowledge them. But still, it was scary for me because there was a bunch of them around, and I just didn't like that. I was really, really scared. And then my grandmother and I talked about it later, and she explained to me, that these things were not good, and that Michael had, had told me they would be around, and so he wanted me to watch them, to learn from them, to learn how they work, what they do, that sort of thing, what they look like. Because I've always ever seen demonics in their true form. I don't see them like, they can get into your mind and show you, dig out a picture that you have of what they should look like, and then they appear to you that way, and they amplify it 10 times in order to elicit fear. But I've always seen them in their natural state. They look like about a 7 foot tall. They look like an archangel almost, except for they're totally black. And when you get to the face is something that nightmares are made of. It's horrible. It doesn't bother me because I've seen them all my life. But, I've had a couple of people that say, I want to see what you see. And I tell them, you do not want to see what I see. And, Zach Bagans found that out the hard way. When he held my hand, I said, do you want to see what I see? Hold my hand. He did not like that. And I told him, I said, you're going to hear and you're going to see things. You're going to see what I see and hear what I hear. And he had to come back so I could take the sight from him. So he didn't continue to see it. But it's not for the faint of heart.
Did they ever come back? When he was able to briefly see the other side like that, did they come after him? Or they didn't, apparently, with you there, probably.
Well, there was already the demon that was there that night, the old one, was already hit. He had already encountered it at the demon house.
Oh,
and I told him that.
I
told him that. You didn't get it, it didn't come on camera, but I told him, I said, this is the one that you messed with at the demon house. I said, he's come back to give you a message. I said, and you better listen, because he's an old one and they rarely deliver messages. So you better listen.
Wow.
And he's like, the same one? I'm like, yeah, it's the same one. They know you're coming before you know you're coming.
Are these entities around us all the time? I mean, no matter where we are they rare or?
No, they're around all the time. But it's kind of like if you're in New York and you're walking down the sidewalk at, 5 o'clock in the evening, everybody's rushing for the tube and stuff. And, the train, everybody's heading for the train, so we're all going in one direction. And that's cool. If you're all going in one direction, nobody notices anybody else, they're just heading for the train. But every now and then, you'll have that one person that will go against the flow of the people. and they'll stick out. And that's the way it is with demons. They're around all the time, but if you don't acknowledge them, then they don't even pay no attention to you. But the moment that you acknowledge them, then it's on, because it's like acknowledging them makes them see you, actually see you. Whereas before, they just pass by like you're not even there. But, you know, if you acknowledge them, then you're opening yourself.
Can that be done through simple things, just like trying to get EVPs or any kind of divination?
Yes. Right, they can, especially people that are doing paranormal investigating. You know, we have the devices, we have them open. We are trying to call in, spirits. We are trying to find out who's there. And it, like I said, it opens a door. And if they, have good spirits that are talking, and they'll hear it, and they'll be attracted by it. Then they'll go over to where the paranormal investigation is. And once they do, then the fun begins. They start, they can mimic people that you know. They can make you think that they're children, an animal, anything and everything. But the older ones, the more powerful ones, rarely come down here. We're not worth their time and effort. It's only if they have something like that old demon, if they have something, a message to deliver, or you're on their radar, then that's when the old ones come down. But most of the ones that are hanging around are what I call the lesser demons. They are like teenagers on steroids. They don't want to listen to anybody, and they want to do what they want to do, and to heck with anybody else. So they're the ones you're going to find here in the physical world causing problems. Yeah, that's why I said it's like a hormonal teenager,
What do you think about this?
And I don't know, but somebody had told me that, you can have access like to that if you were to watch the Demon House as per se, or can it go through... like Jason said, an EVP or a phone, can you open a portal like that? I mean, just something simple by watching something evil like that, like the Demon House, or having somebody who...
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes you can. It depends. If you're obsessed with these things and you're watching them, constantly, and it's constantly on your mind, you're going to attract them because your thoughts are constantly on, the negative entities or the Demon House or, whatever the case may be. There was a film put out by Ryan Buell and Chad, I think his last name is Kalnick, and it was I can't remember, it was American something or other. And people that watched that said that there was, that they had issues when they were watching it. They were having problems and having different thoughts and stuff. But, like anything, it's all about thought. When I died and went, in 1988, and I went to the other side, a lot of that stuff was revealed. And they said, thought becomes reality. If you're thinking about them, it's like picking up the phone and calling them. They thought can become reality in heaven as well as in hell. And so if you're calling them here, it's all about the thought and the intent behind it. That's half the battle there. If your intent is to do good, then that's what you're going to get. But if your intent is to say, wow, I'd like to see a demon, or I'd like to, wonder what they sound like, I wonder what they look like, that sort of thing, then your intention is being put out there.
So being skeptical, such as myself, then that's almost a layer of protection, or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It can be. Yeah. It can be in some ways. Like my husband's agnostic, he believes in a higher power, but he doesn't give it a name. And we're kind of polar opposites. But since he's been married to me, he's seen things he don't ever want to see. We went to the coast one year, about 4 or 5 years ago. My cousin's husband was not doing well, so we went down for Thanksgiving. And we stayed at one of our timeshare places at Schooner Landing in Newport. And I was upstairs, and my son and my husband were downstairs. And I felt a chill. I felt something come in. And then I heard my husband bellow at me. So I ran downstairs, and he's pointing at this black mass, and he's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "What do you think it is?" He says, "I'm not sure what it is, but I don't like it." And then it formed into a shadow person and then shot out the French doors. He says, "What was that?" I said, "That, my dear husband, was a shadow person. Welcome to my world." He says, "I don't want to see it again."
Now, what are shadow people? We hear about that a lot.
Shadow people, they're kind of, they're minions. You know, you have a hierarchy on the dark side. You have the old ones, which are about equal to the archangels. And then you have the lesser demons, which are the regular angels, the warrior angels. And then you have the minions, which are the creepy crawly little dudes that run around and crawl over the ceilings and turn themselves into spiders and thin things and look all kinds of weird. And then you have the shadow people. Now, shadow people are different than regular demons. Shadow people are loners. They like their own territory. They like their own space. They do not want other entities around. And so if you have more than one, then there's an issue in your house. But, and then you have the banshees and incubus, succubus, you know, things like that. They're all, those ones are all minions, and they all intend to do harm. But whereas the lesser demons travel in packs, these other, and so do the what I call the creepy crawlies, they travel in packs. But the shadow person doesn't, neither do the banshees or the succubus or the incubus.
Were shadow people ever embodied in human form? They weren't.
No. No.
Where did they come from, June? Curious. Where the shadow people are from? Different dimensions? How did they come into our dimension?
They come through portals, dark portals. They are dark entities. They are like, okay, if you were in the army, they're the grunts. You know, they're the grunts, the infantry. Whereas the enlisted man are the lesser demons, and then the generals and the bird colonels are the older ones.
So when a person calls and needs your assistance, can you tell, June, just by their voice, or can you tell by, you know, having them send a picture what's going on with them, or do you physically go and take care of it? What do you do?
I usually have them send me a picture of either if they're saying their house is haunted. You know, I have them send a picture of themselves and the house. And if it's just, you know, like a lesser demon or a shadow person or something like that, then, you know, I'll get it from the picture. If it's something stronger, all I have to do is get an email. I don't need a picture. Or if they call me, I don't need a picture. I can hear it. I know it's there. It's just, and they, you know, they speak in Aramaic. And my brain is kind of hardwired to interpret it. That's why I had a friend that was a medium, and he says, you know, I really want to get into this. I want to see what you see. And I'm like, you're not going to like it. And he's like, well, you know, no, I really do. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I had him hold my hand, and he saw these two huge demons. And he's like, what are they saying? And he says, I don't understand the words. He says, but I understand the intent behind the words. And I told him, I said, they speak in Aramaic. And I said, I can tell you what they're saying, but it's not very nice. I said, they're never nice to me. I said, because mostly they think I'm just a stupid human. And and I'm dumb. But actually, demons are quite dumb.
What is their ultimate intent? Is it just to make us miserable and do bad things on the planet? Like, what's their objective?
Well, it's kind of like, okay, so you have to find out why they do this stuff. You have to go back to the time when, well, people will say, you know, the war between heaven and hell. They were all light beings at one time. And then Lucifer decided, you know, that he didn't want God to be the head guy, that he wanted to take over. He could do a better job. And, you know, that was, so there was a lot of grumbling of that for years, and God knew about it. And then, you know, we traveled all over the different galaxies and things. And finally, we decided we wanted to have physical form again. So, you know, 90% of the people wanted to have physical form. And Lucifer and his followers didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, we don't want to have a physical body. We don't want to be subject to getting old, having pain, none of that. We don't want it. So that's when the war started. And when, you know, Lucifer lost, you know, God told him and his followers, you know, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. You're never going to be able to take a physical form again, but you're going to be cast into darkness. So what happened was the archangels opened a rift. It's almost like, sounds like something out of Star Wars, but I can see it in my head because they showed it to me. Like they sliced open a rift and put all these guys in it and sealed it up. But they found ways to be able to get into the physical world by creating, you know, holes in the rift and working there, you know, creating dark portals so that they can travel into the physical world. And they want to harm man because, stop and think about it, these are white light souls that are down here. So, you know, we're pissed. We've been in darkness for so long that we want revenge. So that's what it's all about. Even though they don't want to have physical form, they're still pissed off.
Wow. What do you think, Jason?
I mean, I'm just skeptical by nature. But just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think in some cases, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know. I just want to live my life.
Exactly, right? Like I tell a lot of people, I said, you know, I had this one guy, I was on a radio show years ago with a guy, and he's like, I don't believe in negatives. I've never met a negative. And I thought to myself, okay, fine. I told him, I said, wow, must be nice. I want to know.
I've done paranormal investigations, quite a few actually, and I haven't. There are some things that have happened that I couldn't explain. So I'm open to the idea of these beings and human spirits. But oftentimes I'm able to find a logical explanation, but I wasn't really able to find a definitive explanation why that flu vial was moving by itself. So I don't know.
Let me think about that one. Is there a breeze? Yeah.
No, it's in a biohood.
Could the cooling system kick on?
No, I don't know.
I know, right? I remember the first time I actually had to deal with the demon was I was in the military. I was at the Air Force, and we got a call from the police barracks. So we went over. I was working night shift. We went over, and the sergeant said, you know, there's like we got a guy. We haven't heard from him for a couple of days. And we've been in his room, won't answer his door, nobody's seen him, nothing. I'm like, oh, good. So you're going to unlock the door, and nobody's seen him in a couple of days, so you think his body's in here. And we're going to be the ones to find it and take it back to the hospital. And it's like, okay, fine, whatever, just open the door. So we open the door, and we find the guy sitting against the wall. And he's all curled up. And his eyes are glazed over, and this is a chaplain's assistant. I had met him a couple times before. I mean, he wouldn't say boo if you know, if to scare anybody if his life depended on it. So he's sitting over there, and I'm like, okay, and I hear this growl over to the left, and I'm like, oh, crap. So here's this demon sitting in, up in the corner, you know, of the wall ceiling area, and he's watching this guy, and I can hear him in my head, and so I know that he's waiting for the guy to die. So he can take his soul. Yeah, and I'm like, I told him, not on my freaking watch or not. So I told the other guy, tech that was with me, I said, come on, let's take this guy back to the ER. So we got him all bundled up, and we got him back to the ER, and I didn't see the demon. It wasn't there. And then I had to go in and start an IV on him and stuff, and suddenly it's there, and he's like, he's mine, he's growling. I said, screw you. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I said, get the hell out before I do something to you you're not going to like. And it growled, and I just repeated myself, and finally it went away. And I'm like, yeah, you're not getting this guy. And it never showed back up. But that was before I, you know, knew what was inside of me. And then it's like, even then, it's like, no, you don't. Not on my watch. He was all of like 22 years old. And he was somebody, we found out afterwards, somebody had put angel dust in his soda. He went to a party at the barracks, and somebody put angel dust in his soda. And this guy wouldn't hurt a fly. And it's just, he was never the same. Never the same after that.
Wow.
Food tampering is one of my biggest fears. I couldn't imagine having to go through that.
Yeah, it was bad. He was like a vegetable when we pulled him out of there.
So, I when we're talking, I'm thinking of the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves.
Oh yeah, that's a cool movie. I like it. They got some things wrong, but it's okay.
I mean, are you ever putting yourself in mortal danger? You know,
no.
To be able to perceive these beings. I mean, how are they not coming after you all the time?
Okay, so it's hard for people. You're skeptical now. You'll be even more skeptical by the time I get through telling you. I died in a motorcycle accident in 1988. I was riding my bike, minding my own business, and this woman ran a red light and hit me on my bike. I had a vision a week before and through the eyes of the person on the bike, and I thought it was for my brothers because they both ride and they're crazy. So I saw it coming out of the side mirror, and I was quick enough to shove the bike into the car and me off the other side. But in doing so, I fractured my skull, and I was clinically dead for 2 minutes. There was a police officer that saw it happen a few cars back, and he was trying to revive me. I remember seeing him, and then I went to the other side. My grandparents were waiting for me, and they said, you know, it's not your time. You're not supposed to be here. And I said, evidently, I'm supposed to be here for some reason. And then Michael, the archangel, was there, and he said, listen, he said, you need to understand who and what you are. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm me. He's like, you don't understand. So he made me relive all my physical world lives back to the core soul. And he's like, this is who you are. This is what you are. He said, you're Ariel the Archangel. He said, you were returned to the physical world to live physical world lives until you learn to have compassion for mankind. He said, you will continue to remove demons in your physical form and serve God. And I'm like, okay. So I thought, he says, it's time for you to go back. So as I'm leaving, I hear my grandfather tell me, he says, you're going to have a son in about a year's time. I wasn't even married at the time. I just started dating my husband and stuff. And it's like, okay. So when I came back, it was too much for me to deal with. I didn't even know who the heck Ariel was. I didn't even know there was an archangel named Ariel. And I'm like, okay, well, I couldn't deal with it for a while. Then finally, you know, I ended up getting pregnant and just about a year, and my son was born after that, like my grandfather told me. And then I had some postpartum depression and couldn't deal with it. But eventually I ended up being able to, Michael the Archangel helped me to communicate with her, to merge her consciousness with mine. So I can hear what she's saying, I can hear what she's doing, and she comes out in a physical manifestation. When I am doing a removal and she's out, people say that my eyes turn white and my face looks like 20, 30 years younger, and they swear they can see wings coming out of my back. And they're like, do you know you do that? I'm like, I'm a little busy. I'm not paying attention. I said, no, I don't care. I'm busy. You know, so that's how I can do it without having repercussions. You know, a lot of people that do demonology work die young and have health issues. I don't have any health issues. I just turned 61. And, you know, that's the only, and that's why I can remove them in a matter of minutes.
So I had to Google.
Have you had a problem with any of them? Were they trying to challenge you or trying to suck your energy or hurt you or anything like that, June?
Yeah, they try to challenge me all the time. Stupid idiots. But see, they because they can't.
You have no fear.
No, because they can't see what's inside of me. All they see is the physical manifestation, the person, the human. They never look. They're like some people. They don't look any deeper than the surface, which is a good thing, because if they did, they'd be heading the other way.
So I Googled
so
Ariel because I'm not.
Go ahead, Jason. Go ahead.
I Googled Ariel on it because I'm not familiar with it, and it says that Archangel Ariel is charged with overseeing the natural world. She's closely connected to animals, minerals, and the elemental forces of nature, and assists in environmental causes, disasters, protecting and healing the sick or injured animals. That's what Google says.
That's a good story. Ariel was a demon slayer. She was part of a group called the Assassins. If you would equal them is like Navy SEALs, the elite. These five assassins were put in, they were used during the war between heaven and hell. And what do you do with the assassins or the elite killers? You keep them close to you. So they guarded the throne of God, all five of them, and Ariel was part of them. She was also a demon slayer, and that's the part she enjoyed the best. But her name means Lion of God. So she's one of the protectors, and she's good at what she does.
Wow.
Yep. This is all stuff that I've picked up from the other side. Michael, they formed before the war between heaven and hell. God formed an elite group besides the assassins. This other group was called the Legion of Light. They were made up of Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Ariel. And they were there to keep the peace. And they came, you know, they're still together more or less when they still are in contact with Ariel. So I hear them all the time. And if I ever need them, they're there. All of them are right there.
Do these angels have the ability to be in more than one place at one time? So, like,
oh,
they
yeah.
can be accessible in infinite amount of places and times?
Exactly. It's like, we think like mortals. We think, well, you know, you can only be at one place at one time, or you can be on the phone, and you can be at one place. But they can be everywhere at once. Talk about multitasking.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, they, you know, too many, you know, Michael's always being called on for one reason or another. It's like, take a message. But people, one of the things my book talks about is, you know, people think, oh, you know, I know that Michael the Archangel knows how I feel. They know my pain. They know, you know, that I'm worried, stuff like that. And it's really interesting because when Ariel first came into physical form, she had no clue. She knew the concept of pain. She knew the concept of love. She knew the concept of worry, anger, all that stuff. But she didn't know the actual feeling of it. So it took her two or three lifetimes to figure that one out. And it's the same with the archangels. They haven't had physical form for so long that they know the concept of, you know, love or worry or anger or whatever, but they don't know the feelings. And that's what Ariel has been trying to do between lifetimes. She's been trying to help them know what these feelings feel like. That sounds odd. She's been helping them experience the emotions. And it seems to help. It seems to have made them more receptive.
Now, if there's people out there that have dabbled in the occult or they're drug addicts and feel that they have demonic influences in their lives, what can they do if they realize that they need help? I mean, should they go straight to a priest or is that even helpful?
Yeah. Well, if they have a clergy that they can talk to, somebody that can help them. And not every priest is going to be a demonologist or exorcist. You have to, it's a specialty field, and not every one of them feels comfortable with it. But if you can go to them, and they can, in turn, can have some, you know, give you a name of somebody else, or, you know, a deliverance minister, you know, anything like that. Demonologist, most of them, I don't know, they don't do removals per se. A lot of them don't do removals. But, you know, a lot of people will contact me, and it's just fine. But the first step should be, you know, realize what's going on. B, look for help. If you belong to a church or you know, have a church down the street or whatever, you can go to them and talk to them and see if they can help you. If they can't, they can point you in the right direction. Although a lot of times they'll think you're crazy, and you just have to tell them, you know, I'm not insane. You know, these are what has been happening to me. The problem with the Catholic Church is you have to practically be dead before they'll do anything to help you because, you know, you have to prove it. You know, because they can't. They want physical proof.
I know people that are running out there advertising themselves as demonologists with absolutely no experience, not even reading a book, you know, watching some television shows, and they're going into people's houses
scary.
Being demonologists. It is scary.
It is. I have run across so many fake ones. It's incredible. And then they're charging people for this. It's like, really? Oh, yeah, give me a... I had one guy. I'm not going to say his name. But I live in out of Tacoma. And I had a paranormal group contact me because of the fiasco that happened with him. He evidently, you know... They raised $1,800 to fly him out and get him a hotel for where this was all happening. And it was an older couple. And he went in and he comes out with a little vial of water and said, oh, here's the demon. We're just going to break the vial and it'll be gone. And I can just imagine the demon is laughing. They're laughing themselves sick. And then he went on his merry way, and the next day it starts all over again.
Wow.
And the poor people are so traumatized that they don't trust anybody anymore. And then they came, you know, the paranormal group came to me, and I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll get rid of it. All they have to do is just tell them to pray. Prayer is a powerful tool. So... you know, we got rid of it, but it's just, I hate people like that take advantage of people. It bothers me. This is
and
God's
epidemic,
service.
I'm sure.
Yeah, this is work for God. You don't charge for God's work. You pass it on. You ask them to do something good for you. Pass it on. You know, help someone else. That's all I ask of people. You know what? I'm going to do the removal or take it away. Just help other people. Just pass on the good deed.
Hit forward.
Yeah, but I don't understand people doing that.
I got a question, June. When you do have, you know, you're taking a case where there is that kind of activity, whether it's negative, whatever the term you may call it, is it times where you have to, is there times you have to go back and take care of it, or more often than not, you can just do it in one clean sweep?
Yeah, more often than not, I'd say about 98% of the time, I can do it in one sweep. The only time I have a problem is if the person summons the thing, and then, which I've had somebody do it, a person up in Vancouver, and you summon the thing, then you want me to help you out of the situation, and then you ask me to help you learn how to summon more of them. What is wrong with you? I take them out. I don't bring them in. Thank you very much. You know, are you out of your mind? And then she gets in trouble again, and it's like, can you help me? I'm like, oh, OMG, what? I don't understand that.
I
just don't understand it.
Wow, I can't believe people would do that.
People do it. People are stupid. Oh, sorry, but they are.
No, they are. I get that. Yeah, they are.
I mean, it's just like, why would you mess with them? Why would you summon them?
Well, now they know that, you, or he or whoever knows that you can help them when they get in over their head. They must, like, want to rush something.
Yeah, the problem is everybody, you know, that this person, I've had her refer people to me over the last few years, and every one of them that does, you know, that's had her, quote-unquote, help them, they've had something attached.
And
so
could you
like,
see that
you know,
right away when you meet somebody?
Yeah.
Can you go, oh, yeah. They're,
yeah.
Do you actually, like, see a being on their back or following them, or how's that look?
Yeah, I see it right, standing right behind it. I went, I was on Ground Zero with Clyde. A couple years ago, they did a special on me called Demon Seer, and I got like over 200 requests for help in the first week. And one of the people, it took me months to take care of everybody. One of the people said, you know, I want to meet you, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, okay. I'm thinking, I'm going to meet you in a public place. So went met at a restaurant, and I'm like, and she was a necromonger. She's a necro. They try to hold on to spirits, summon them, and hold on to them.
Oh, my God.
They kind of capture them. Yeah. And, you know, they'll file their teeth down into fangs and stuff like that. I want to find out, you know. And I'm like, listen. I said, you have a demon attachment? And I said, it's right behind you. Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't. And I'm like, oh, good. I said, listen. I said, you deserve each other because you summoned this thing. So, bye. And I left. It's like, I'm telling you, I've seen demons in their true form, and they don't creep me out like this woman did. She creeped me out. God.
She like all
goth
or
like,
something?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, okay. I'd rather see the demon, thanks.
So from not acknowledging them, is there another way you can do, June, to not attract them besides not acknowledging them since they're all around us?
They're usually attracted by substance abuse, mental illness, reading and being obsessed with negative, or even doing investigations where there's unfortunately something negative. If you don't acknowledge it, you know, you'll be okay. But they're attracted by all that. They're attracted by violence. They're attracted by, you know, if you grow up in a household that's full of, you know, anger and violence and abuse, then that's going to attract them. But for the most part, you know, if you see one, if you're in an investigation, so I could tell people, I'm going to be teaching a class at the Ghost Conference about it. It's like, if you see them, do not say, wow, is that a shadow person I see? Because then they turn around, they look at you, and they're like, oh, a live one. But if you can just not acknowledge them, or, you know, within yourself, you can say, you know, say a prayer. Just ask for whatever deity you believe in for their help, their protection. But when, before you even paranormal investigate, you should be, you know, having protection anyway. I mean, that should be standard for everyone, because you never know what you're going to encounter. I mean, you may investigate for 30 years and never run across a negative. And I'd say good on you. But there's that one time that if you don't, you know, have that protection, you're screwed. You know, I was working with a group up in Canada where they had issues because one of their people did not do any protection, didn't want to do any protection, and he ended up with an attachment. And he's like, you know, the guy calls me and says, you know, can you help us? I said, send me a picture, okay. But the guy never learned, because even after the removal, the guy still didn't do any protection. I'm like, you know, it's on your own head, nobody else's. And I'm not saying that everybody out there that encounters a negative is going to get an attachment. I'm not saying that. And I hope they never do. But, you know, there's that 1%. And, you know, Zach Bagans is one of them. That, you know, you have those attachments. It's like, stay away from them. Don't provoke them. You know, don't even acknowledge them, and you're fine. Like I said, the minute you do, it's on.
So let me ask you, Dean, I noticed that when I watch Ghost Adventures, he wears this mask. It looks like some kind of mask, like a respirator. What happened now that you know who he is and you've worked with him personally?
What is that thing that he's
wearing, and why?
Yeah, he has asthma. So, you know, when you're in those dusty places and underground places, you know, it's not good for your asthma. So he wears a kind of a respirator type mask. But the demon from the demon house is the one that took his sight, started damaging his sight. And I told him when he was there, I said, you know, this thing knows you from there. I said, don't think it's through with you. It's like, all right, people, I will give him that. He's like, he's a nice guy, and he is really a nice guy, and he really cares about his people that are involved in the filming and everything like that. He wants to make sure that they are okay, that they're going to be okay, that they're not going to be in any danger, which is awesome. And I told him, I said, yes, it was one of the first things he asked me, are my people going to be okay? I said, as long as I'm here, yeah, your people are going to be okay. But I said, this old demon that I got chained over here, he don't like you. And here's his message, and you better heed it, because he ain't going to give you another message. The next one will not be so nice. And he just, I don't know, I told him, hold my hand, and he saw it. He says, they cut out some of the stuff, of course, on TV, but he says, first when I held your hand, he said, it was beautiful. There was white light and everything. He said, and then a curtain came down, and I saw it. I'm like, and that's when he jerked his hand away from mine. I'm like, yeah, hello.
I saw that. I saw that. He was, like, in shock.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
he ran
out of the hotel.
Has his eyesight has it been restored, or he is still impaired with his eyesight?
No, it's a permanent impairment.
No kidding. That is serious.
Yeah. That's why he's having to wear such thick glasses.
Wow.
But
oh,
you can't, you don't mess with the dark ones and not expect, and to expect to come out with no issues, you know?
June, there's so many paranormal, you know, teens that are out there. I mean, you can't even count how many there are flourishing day by day. And you hear this.
Why do you think there's so much paranormal activity? Because of that. Yeah, it's really an epidemic, so to speak, and the negatives are taking, you know, they're like free for all. They're like rubbing their hands together and say, "Yeah, right on. You know, we're gonna be having some good times here." That's why there's so much activity.
Huh? It's just a matter of who they pick and where you're at exactly.
Yep.
My gosh.
Sometimes it can be.
We're on iHeartRadio and all these other major podcasts, including Blog Talk Radio. How does a person know, and before they even call you or anybody else for professional assistance, how do they know that they have attachments? What are the symptoms, or what can you tell people?
There are certain things that occur. It's a step-by-step situation. They have their own MO. What they do is if they see you and they want to attach to you, they'll watch you. They're kind of like stalkers. They'll wait, they'll watch, and they'll watch your habits. They'll watch your weaknesses. They'll watch and see, you know, who you have around you that you care about, and are they a weakness for you? What can they do to hurt them and therefore hurt you or threaten to hurt the person? They'll wait and watch, and then they'll start slow. They'll start moving things, and then they'll start, you'll start having nightmares, and then you start having, you know, people start, you know, they start having financial issues, major financial issues, health issues. That's big. They start having health issues. Their health goes downhill. They're not sleeping. They become almost paranoid. They start believing that they have nothing but bad luck. And they start pushing away the people that care about them most, because a demon wants to isolate you away from your support system, away from all the people that can help you. So they try to isolate you as soon as they can. And then they move on to, you know, talking to you and getting influencing you, trying to get you to do things that you wouldn't normally do, and, like, hurt yourself, hurt others. Just, you know, drive your car like 100 miles an hour in 20 mile an hour zone in the middle of traffic. You know, they do all kinds of things to you. It's all, you know, it's all there. And, you know, you get this kind of, and you're in the presence of a demon, you get a cold feeling that has nothing to do with the ambient temperature. It's all about this cold feeling inside of you. It's like the inside of you is encased in ice. The air gets heavy. There are, you know, signs of, like, you know, dead bugs, dead animals, things like that. It's there for everyone to see. Sometimes you can actually see them. So you'll see a black mass. You'll see a cloud. You'll see a shadow. You know, all sorts of things. Anything to elicit fear in you, because they're fed by negative emotions, negative energy. Feeds them, makes them stronger. Their ultimate goal is to either make you crazy or kill you. And if they manage to kill you, then they try to trap your soul. And they, you know, they use them to do their bidding. Until somebody like me comes along to help release them.
Can they jump off from one person to the next like that?
Sure.
But once they kill that person, they can go to another person and find another victim?
Yeah, you have people that say, you know, somebody call and say, you know, I have a family curse. My grandfather, it started with my grandfather, and, you know, everything in the world went bad and stuff like that. And then he died, and then my father had it. It's like he was jinxed, you know, he was cursed. This is a family curse. And then when they die, that person dies, then it moves on to the next person. And it's just like, you know, I'm going to move from person to person. So people think it's a curse. People think, you know, I'm a jinx, it's bad luck, you know, that sort of thing. But it's not a curse like you would normally think. You're cursed by having this thing attached. But it doesn't just, people don't understand, it doesn't just affect the individual it's attached to. It affects everyone around it, including the animals. Animals are smarter than we are. They know. They can sense those things. And they don't want to have nothing to do with it. And went out to a place in Tigard where the demons had been killing the animals. And they were working on the third one. And funny enough, like Ariel, I love animals. I like animals more than I like people, but that's the way it is. But I, you know, I have at one time I had 8 dogs. I'm down to a couple of pit bulls and a Springer right now. But I have a farm. But it killed the animals because, you know, they're weak. Nobody can protect them.
They just actually killed them. There was no sign of,
yeah, they killed them.
Fucking
the bird,
blood,
they woke up. Yeah, they woke up one morning and the bird's neck was twisted.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The rat's head was shoved between bars where that rat could. There's no way that rat could get his head between those bars of the cage. No way. It's not physically possible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, the one case.
June, do you notice, and I'm just curious, this just came right off the cuff, are there people that you there could be demonic qualities that are could be, you know, just like anybody that you can run into, that they're working in, like, government, or they could be working as a nurse or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there are.
They're already
moving among the government. There is a panel of 9 wealthy and influential people that form this board, and they have 9 because they don't get any ties when they do voting about how they're going to change the economy, how they're going to, you know, move things forward, how they're going to stop things, you know, that they are influenced by the negative ones.
That's crazy.
A couple years ago, they had one of the members die, and it took them almost 2 years to find a replacement. And they can't do it. They can't proceed forward, backwards, anything when they don't have 9.
So in the meantime, what you can do is just try and protect yourself and stay away from anything that's negative, correct, June?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, sometimes, though, it's as simple as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You could be walking down a street in Cincinnati and, you know, demon comes along and you're, you know, a live one. You know, wrong place, wrong time. Or go to a party. I've had people that have gone to parties and have, you know, had problems ever since, and then they realize there's something wrong, and I tell them, I said, did you go to a party a couple years ago? And it was like things started happening. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's where you picked it up from. It came off somebody and decided to hook onto you. But people, I've had people that had a woman that had suffered for 20 years. And she had possession. It was bad.
Wow.
There were 11 of them. And by the time, Ariel was actually out for 3 hours. And by the time it was all over with, there was one left. And it was one that had been hiding out from Lucifer because it was told to do something. And it didn't do it. It just went into hiding. And it took up residence in this woman. And I told her, I said, well, if you don't want to go back to the dark side, I said, would you like to go home? Would you like to go to, you know, the light? And they're like, maybe, you know. And I had a couple of people there with me, and I said, one of them was a minister, and I said, well, you know, I said, I'm going to call Jesus to come. And so I said, Jesus, come forth. And this huge hand outstretched, and the two people that were with me split in the middle because they saw it come. And it was Jesus' hand. It was he held it out to the entity. And he told it, you can come home if you want to. But it was so used to being, you know, lied to and being tricked that it refused. And so Jesus drew back his hand and disappeared. And I told it, I said, okay, if you're not going to come, if you're not going to go home, I said, then you have to go to the other place. And I said, Ariel said, Lucifer, come forth. And my two friends saw this entity walking down the hallway from the bedroom. Black guy in like a 1940s fedora. You know, it was a black entity, and it just walked down. And it told the demon, come with me. And the demon refused. And then the entity looked at Ariel and said, I'll be back for him tonight. And so it walked back down the and disappeared into the end of the hall. And and we all went home, and we all woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard it say, it's done. And I called the woman the next day, and she's like, I feel great, but I feel terrible. I said, get some counseling, get some help. You have PTSD after this long with having that. So she did get the counseling. She got the help she needed. But she'll never be the same.
I don't think people are the same. I really feel this way, is that once you, you know, whether it's, you know, the dark side or anything like that, once you start experiencing those kind of things, you're never the same.
Yeah, you never forget.
You
end up with
absolutely
PTSD, yeah.
So talk about a little bit about what you do with your paranormal team. You have the first girls paranormal team. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's Ghosts and Girls Paranormal. And we used to belong to a different group, and it got to the point where I was getting all the calls for negative entities, and I told the first group, I said, listen, you know, we're going to split off. I'm going to do this because you guys shouldn't be doing negative entity stuff because you know nothing about it, and I don't want anybody getting hurt. So that's when I formed Ghosts and Girls Paranormal. A friend of mine, Wendy, she decided to take the training under me, and she can see, like, where the way she sees them is, like, you know, when you're driving down the road in a hot day, and you get that little wiggly mirage thing going on, you know, that's how she sees them. She doesn't see, you know, what they really look like. She just sees that. She can tell that they're there. So she takes care of some of the little ones, and I take care of the big ones. But we specialize in negative entity identification and removal. So you can go on Facebook and go to Ghosts and Girls Paranormal, or you can look for me, June Lundgren, at Demon Seer. And you can find my pages there. I have a website, demonseer.com, and ghostsandgirls.com.
And I want to say something about this. You also sell black salt in a pendant. Is that correct?
Yeah, I sell them in necklaces. The necklaces are usually reserved for, like, ashes, cremation ashes and stuff, but they work well for black salt. Black salt, the recipe was given to me by God when I started doing removals, and he said, you need something to protect the people that are involved in it. So he gave me a recipe for black salt, and he blesses it at each making of the salt. And you late after I come and remove demonic, then people sage their house, and then they put the lay down the black salt, and it acts like a barrier from anything negative coming through. And so I sell the pendants also on my website. And what happens is, if you're around anything negative and it activates, the pendant will get warm. Like, you know, it will, in fact, the stronger the entity, the hotter it gets. I have the other half of my group is Ghosts and Girls Paranormal UK in the United Kingdom. And they've been around to different places, and they wear the pendants with them on them when they do investigations. And it, you know, it gets really hot around their neck sometimes, but they don't dare take it off. It's a good protection. It will help against anything negative. A lot of people carry a little bit of it in their car or in their wallet or purse or whatever. but it really does help a lot.
It doesn't absolve them from having it. I mean, like if you carry the black pendant, you know, if you have it as a necklace, there's a chance that it helps mostly, but it doesn't absolve it from, you know, you don't, it's no 100% guarantee, correct?
Yeah, it's a warning. It's basically an early warning system. It
sure
acts like, you know, there's something here negative and you really don't want to go in.
Get out.
Yeah, get out.
Personally, I got to say this and tell our listeners, I have worn June. I see her at the Ghost Conference and other a couple of other events, and I have worn her black shawl, and I have to attest, it does get warm, and I do a lot of readings. I mean, whether it's Chinese medicine readings or, you know, psychic and or mediumship, but there are times where it gets really warm, and I'll tell you, this stuff works, and I wear it, especially if I'm working. Personal time, you know, if I'm working in the gym or anything, I don't wear it because I don't want it to, you know, get sweaty or anything like
right.
that, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, I absolutely, I love the stuff. I'm, you know, I don't depend on it, but it's nice to have. You know, it's kind of like an added protection. It's just an added layer of protection.
Yeah, it's like an early warning system. It's like, don't go in there. There's nothing good in there.
So it's wonderful because there's not very many people, and I know, like in Oregon, you know, there are people that say, oh, yeah, I'm a demonologist and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I'm going to say this. I actually have had, a hitchhiker or two in my time. And I call June up and I say, hey, June, you know, hey, do I got something? Because I know when I have something, but I call her just to validate, just to know I have it, and she takes it right off. I don't feel it right away, but I know when it's off, you know, I really do, and I want to say she really knows her stuff, and it's really nice to know somebody that you can trust and know that what they're doing is they're good for, you know, to help people, so I really want to thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. It's God's work.
Yeah, so thank you. Is there anything going on that you might want to tell anybody that's happening with you? You have your new book release, and when is that going to be ready for the shelves or ready to be on your website to be bought if people are interested?
It's going to be released, hopefully. I want to get it released before the Ghost Conference, which is the last weekend in March. So hopefully the end of February it will be released, and it's called Demon Seer. And it'll be available on Amazon through Ingram Books, and you can get it on Smashwords. You can get it as an ebook or as a regular printed book. It doesn't matter. It'll be close to 400 pages, so there's
a lot
of information contained in it.
That's crazy. Hey, I got a question for you, and I just came up with this one. Is there anything we can do with our pets? And, you know, they are very telepathic. They know energy, like you said earlier. Is there anything we can do to help our pets that in case that they, you know, are exposed to that kind of thing, the dark side or whatever?
Yeah, if they're experiencing it, they're going to, you know, it's a good thing for people to watch their animals because really, animals are so sensitive to it, and if they start acting funny, if they don't want to go into a certain room where they never had a problem with it before, or they suddenly start growling at things, or they suddenly start getting sick for absolutely no reason, then you know that there's something there, whether it be an earthbound negative or something a little more potent. But, yeah, the only thing you can do is, you know, I have a friend that's he's a medium. I removed some demons from him and his work. He has his own business. And he puts a black salt, one of the bullets, on his dog to keep his dog safe. And so he uses that for his dog.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they
make...
collars where you can put something inside of it, you know, like some liquid or something, and you could use the black salt and put it in there and to protect the dog.
Well, you know, just like you were talking about earlier, and this is what I've used, is cremation pendants. You know, you can put the black salt in there.
Yep,
exactly.
They work quite well, and there's some really nice ones out there for, you know, I've got some, like, bullet-shaped ones. I've got some dragon one. I've got all different kinds of ones. The only problem is it's best to get, don't get ones that are kind of like glass. Because it is black salt, it's made, you know, salt is corrosive. So if you're better off to get, like, something that doesn't have glass with it, something like a bullet shape or, you know, I've got ones that look like a little sachet and things like that. And the hearts, they make the heart ones, which are really good because they don't corrode. That's the problem, you know, salt does corrode. That's the only bit downside to it. But, you know, when you think about it, better the protection than not.
Exactly. Wow. Well, thank you, June. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you, Jason and I, and, you know, you're a lot of wealth of information. And are you planning on being on Ghost Adventures anytime soon or anything scheduled in the future right away? Or can you share with us really quick?
Clyde Lewis is going to have me on Ground Zero. He's thinking sometime this coming month, and then when my book is released in February, he wants to have me on Ground Zero for that.
That's wonderful.
I've got a couple other shows, coming up. And then the Ghost Conference is the last weekend in March, and I'll be teaching a class on protection against the dark forces.
And how long is the class for those that are listening?
It's about an hour.
Okay. Cool.
And my books will be available, The Dark Side of the Paranormal, and the new one will be available at that time as well.
Excellent. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, June, again, for your time, and we really appreciate you, and we're going to have you back. As soon as your book gets released, we're going to talk about that, and no telling. Everything just keeps on revolving, and you're expanding. You're really in demand with all these radio stations, so it's really nice to be able to have you for, you know, just to be a guest and you spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always good to talk to you guys.
All right. Thank you. So next week we're going to have William Snowgrove. He's a First Nation Native American holy man. And we're going to talk about the shamanism, the modern day, what it's like to really be so-called shaman, and it's really, from what I understand, it's not, there's no so-called shamans, they're actually holy men. So we're going to talk about how the metaphysical, now that people are really getting into soul retrievals and things, what is, you know, what's the real Native American way of how they see about shamanism, so-called shamanism, and how commercial, this is a good way to describe it, how commercialized it's become, and it's really taken away the spiritual and the ritual aspects of really your being able to just, you know, have that experience of you know, helping, healing, and things like that. So Wayne Snowgrove is going to be our guest next week, and until then, we're going to just kind of let it go and tell you guys, hey, thank you for supporting us. And, you know, we are, I don't know how many people that are following us. I think we're at the 40-something thousand people, I believe. And we want to thank each and every one of you for supporting us and supporting Paranormal Horizons. So I just want to thank you. And Jason wants to thank you. I think he pulled out. So in the meantime, we want to take, you know, we want to just thank you and take care of yourself. So until next week, everybody take care, and we'll see you next week. Peace.